This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
James was not really a starter at Georgia. He was more in that sub back role. And so he wasn't a guy that sometimes you draft guys out of college and they, you know, a 2-3 year workhorse. He was not. And his first year here, he didn't. Even last year, he's been around that 50% number. We like what he provides. We do see him as a 3-down type player. And we think he could take more, but we also want to use our other weapons and keep him as fresh as possible. We think that's the best utilization of him. And I know he gets put in the running back room, or guys get put in a tight end room, but it's just trying to find a variety of weapons and skill sets. And he's got a skill set, you know, that we want to maintain and keep with this offense.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean earlier this morning speaking with the media following the official signing of James Cook to his 4-year, $48 million contract, $30 million that is guaranteed. And that, of course, is good for $12 million per year. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We took a call in that last segment there. Nick, very fired up, very upset that the Bills had paid James Cook $12 million, desperately need a wide receiver. He did call Keon Coleman the messiah of wide receivers.
You're mad to be mad, brother.
I also do want to point out, too, and while I don't think this deal will ever be a bargain, again, and I mentioned that in the first hour.
As we've said.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be sitting back here. I think the Rousseau deal could really be a bargain. Benford, I think, could be a bargain. I don't think Cook will. But coming up next year, the running backs that are going to get signed.
Right.
Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, just to name two of them. They're going to be making a pretty penny next year.
And they should, and they... I would expect them. They should get paid more than Cook because they are used more heavily involved in their offenses. They should be getting top running back money because they are not just parts of the engine like I described Cook. They are linchpins of their team.
And so on that, by this time next year, and I think Nick even said he's a middle-of-the-pack running back, he'll be paid like it. He'll be paid for around middle-of-the-pack, top 10 at his position, which most of the NFL does believe he is that.
Oh, no.
So he'll end up being at that anyways. It's just right now he's not. He's, six?
Yeah. Like,
it's $12 million. It's not that much.
We
took callers for months talking about Dawson Knox makes more than him.
Let's go with one thing here on this. I know that this Bills team being in a championship window is stressful as hell. I can acknowledge that, and it'd be ignorant for us not to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just try to enjoy it. And I don't like telling people what to do, but try to enjoy it, my guy.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. This segment will start with Mark on the line. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just want to respond to that last caller, Nick. I'm so sick of people calling this radio show and being mad at the contract. You know, like, it's not our money. Who cares?
Right.
If you think that this player can win you a Super Bowl, then so what? It's Terry Pegula. He's a billionaire. He's just fine, okay? These guys, and here's the other thing. This is a commitment to Brandon Bean following the everyone eats kind of mantra. And what I mean by that is, guess who has to sign off on this? Josh Allen. He has to. If you think that he wasn't consulted, they got rid of Stephon Diggs, the true number one that Nick was talking about, that it made their offense so two-dimensional. Either Josh Allen is being Superman or trying to force it to Stephon Diggs. And this is what they don't want. This is what they're getting away from. And if it wins a Super Bowl, I don't give a rip. Who costs what? Pay him whatever. Let's win the whole freaking thing and stop calling here and nickel and diming Brandon Bean and Terry Pegula. Win an Arrowhead. Let's go. I'm pumped up for week one. Nick, I totally disagree with your call. Let's go.
Mark, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
I hope it's not an Arrowhead. I hope it's in Orchard Park.
Well, ready? Even if it is, win there anyway.
I mean, yeah, win there anyway, but like...
It is the core message of back to your regularly scheduled programming.
They're bringing back everyone.
Through.
They got to the AFC Championship last year. Cook did ultimately have a breakout year last year with 16 touchdowns, 18 total. Yeah, and to that point as well, I've mentioned this. I would have been fine if they ultimately didn't sign him to a deal. He walks in free agency.
I was expecting
next
that
year. And yeah, both of us were partially expecting that in the sense of maybe they can't afford him. But for this year, I've always maintained that he was important for this year because he's their only reliable, at the moment, only reliable skill position player. Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman could pop out. And all of a sudden, Keon, and we've seen it so many times at camp already, the back shoulder passes in the corner of the end zone. He could break out and all of a sudden, boom, he's the guy for you in terms of touchdowns of the receiver position. Kincaid, who I was listening to the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Josh was on it. And you saw a little snippet of it last night on Hard Knocks. Beam was on it as well. But Allen openly acknowledged he missed Kincaid for like walk-in touchdowns like four times last year.
And the other part of this is, ready? Those players, there's ifs. There are not extensions signed. The expectations are supposed to be there. That's how you get your next contract. But there's ifs for those younger players that have yet to sign that extension. Mm-hmm. The 2022 draft class has decided it is not if anymore. It is expectation. Because we've played to a certain standard. There are a couple misses from that draft class. Kyrie Elam.
Mm-hmm.
Baylen Spector's health. But that's a seventh rounder.
Right.
But you got four guys, two second contracts. That is a sign of a good draft class. That is a sign of expectation. You are players we have recognized as going forward. As Mark mentions, it's a little bit of the commitment to the everyone eats mentality.
Oh, I think this is very much a commitment to that, yeah.
Because Cook maintained the balance over the last 2 years. Something that we have been clamoring for years with Josh Allen has been, get the man some kind of help, right?
Yeah, he
doesn't have to do everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Guess what James Cook has done for the last couple of years? Help move the ball down the field.
Well, we've mentioned, too, there have been multiple games in these last 2 years where he's really broken out where Allen kind of can just be a passenger, which was not true for a long time. And to Mark's point as well, you know, the Stephon Diggs stuff, I also wonder, too, the team tried that. They tried having the number one receiver, the guy's going to get you 1,400, 1,500 yards. They made one AFC championship, and in many times during the playoffs, the offense, you know, the number two receiver is oftentimes the most important when it comes to the playoffs. And there were points where Diggs did not look that great. In 13 seconds, Davis is the one that pops off, right? We all know that. The four touchdowns, 200 yards, what have you. But also, Diggs' time in Buffalo ends with, you know, his now, I would argue, maybe his most famous play is a drop. For Bills fans. That's right. What many of us will remember him for in that divisional round matchup against Kansas City. Now what Buffalo has to do at receiver is just get guys that are more reliable. Kansas City won two straight Super Bowls with a pretty subpar wide receiver room. Matt Verderam, who has been on the station a lot, can attest to that. He's openly acknowledged it. Bills can win a Super Bowl with this wide receiver room because the Chiefs won back-to-back with maybe a worse one.
Oh, and made a third with a not-so-stellar one either. Xavier Worthy was okay, and he was the best receiver on that roster, and he was only okay. I do think that some of it has to do with Mahomes
having a
little bit of a worse...
The deep ball is not a high-volume play. It is not high percentage.
That's kind of his big thing in that sort. We have seen a couple games. I mean, most notably the first game between the Bills and the Chiefs in the regular season where they game-planned him and fed him four targets.
Right.
Almost as if to spite me. I remember I was texting.
It felt like that.
I texted Jeremy. And I'm like, this is despite me at this
point. Felt
isn't
like that a little bit.
I feel personally attacked. But it's not like Worthy is this world ender right now, right away to start. He's not some savior of a wide receiver core. The Chiefs have made it because they have balance. They have a defense that makes plays at opportune moments and is stingier. It's not even about the plays at opportune moments. That's the Bills throughout most of the season. They're stingier. They're harder to get drives on.
Chris Jones is a problem. Trent McDuffie, right? I mean, like they have these guys,
superstars.
Thornhill
on the other side of the football. The Bills have, and this is the difference between a star player and a superstar player. The Bills have budding stars or potential.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a superstar. They don't have a Pat Surtain. They don't have a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. They don't have yet that type of player. The game wrecker on the defensive side of the football that they've been missing probably since the combination of Hyde and Poyer.
Mm-hmm.
It's called balance. Not having 80 million wide receivers. I still love that part.
He's upset.
What are you attacking us for?
He's not a fan of Coleman. I think that much is clear. He's not a fan of Coleman.
You also attacked the radio station that got yelled at about this.
Quite famously, by the way.
Quite famously. It became a national story.
I mean, ESPN botched Jeremy and Joe's names, but it doesn't matter. Quite famously.
It became Jerry and Joe for a second.
They should have ran with that. Maybe not forever, but for a little while.
I still don't get why we caught the stray.
On the defense, though, because you mentioned they've got budding stars, but that's where I do look at this team and it.
There's the difference.
You spent a lot this offseason on defense with high volume picks. One of these guys needs to hit. I'm a big fan of Rousseau. I think he is going to splash this year, especially with everything they've allocated to the defense. But the last image we have of him last year was being really bad against the Chiefs. Benford, we really didn't get much of him in the AFC Championship game. He picks up another concussion. Terrell Bernard last year picked up some injuries early, and much of the year was trying to get him right. I think they maybe have three studs there that could be game changers. But we'll find out. That's the only ifs. The ifs now are that, can they take that next step? They took enough of a step to get paid, and I think that's fine. Their next step is there a ceiling higher? For the guys that have been drafted in the last 2 years, it's going to be much more which one of you are going to be the ones that are going to force the Bills to make a hard decision and pay guys to let go of others. Is it going to be Keon Coleman, who, again, every highlight, it seems to be from camp these days, is a back shoulder pass to Coleman. He seems to be making splash plays every day. Kincaid, it sounds like they're getting him up the seams a little bit more. He's being used more in the middle of the field. That's exciting. Is it going to be him?
Ready? I'm excited for the fact that when the games get measured in the win-loss column for real, it is going to hit different if these things are happening, translating from practice to game. If they're not, we've got concerns. Let's cross that bridge when we get there, though.
803-0550, the number to call. Mike is with us next. Mike, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Just to Nick's call, okay? Look, it's my feelings, and I listen to your show faithfully every day, all day and all night. That's the only channel my radio gets is 55. But look, I don't care how much Terry Pegula spends on dinner when he goes out to eat and stuff. I'm not his accountant, so whatever he spends, him and Brandon Bean are on the right track. They're trying to put together a team this year to bring the Super Bowl to Buffalo, and they're doing by whatever means they have. There's a lot of games in James Cook's career that I'm glad he was on our team and not playing against them. Okay, I'm not faulting the guy. I thought he handled the situation pretty diligently, even though I wasn't a baby and shooting off all kinds of stuff. I thought he handled the situation well, listening to whoever he had to listen to. He's looking out for himself and his family. Just like yesterday when you said with Todd Gurley, I mean, their career is 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
So he's not in it that long. And if the guy wants to complain about salaries, tell him to go over to the Major League Baseball and see some of the ridiculous salaries that these guys are getting to stand in the outfield. Maybe somebody might hit a ball to him throughout the game and swing the bat 3 or 4 times, and they're getting stupid contracts. So and they can play till they're 40, 50 years old if they wanted to. So I'm just saying Buffalo's on the right track. That's the last piece of the puzzle. I think we needed to calm the team down. Now we can look forward. We got our team put together. And as far as wide receivers go, he's nuts. So we proved that you don't need a number one to win games and go all the way. They don't know who we're going to put in or who to concentrate on, because every one of our receivers, I think, are equal in talent for what their job is designed for, whether it be over the middle or a deep threat. They're on the right track. Buffalo's doing a good job, and I support them 100%. So let it go what they're getting paid.
Mike, thanks for the call. I wanted to wait on the
baseball contract. That was good, though. I love that.
I love the baseball contracts, though. I hope that never ends. I did want to wait to bring up this, too, because I know Mike wanted to say something similar to this, is, you know, it's not our money, right?
Like, right.
The only thing I get to, and I mentioned this yesterday, too, the only thing is I want them to be sensible, because I don't want the team to end up like the Saints, where for 3-4 years we were all sitting here going, cool, our owner wants to spend money. We physically can't because we're cap strained, what have you, whatever. But yeah, it ultimately is not our money. $12 million is never going to become an albatross of a contract. It is never going to become an anchor.
Not in the NFL these days. Not even for a running back these days. It's pricier at the moment, but it's going to get pushed down in the middle. That's how contracts end up working.
But also, I will say this. He made 0.6 less than his brother did 6 years ago. So even then, running back contracts, unless you're Saquon Barkley or what I believe is going to be Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs, the contracts are relatively staying the same.
They're not going up.
There's not that explosion that you are seeing at the wide receiver position, quarterback, of course, offensive lineman, corner is having a real big explosion. You're not seeing that at running back. It's, for the most part, been staying about the same. I think initially, Cook and his representatives sort of wanted to rewrite the market.
And that is optimistic. You want to aim high. What's the saying again? Reach for the moon, and if you miss, you'll be amongst the stars.
Right. Yep. There you go. It's not wrong. For me, it's the last piece they really needed to do. Connor McGovern, though, is potentially one of them as well.
I will say
maybe.
Probably not. I do think there are going to be maybe not some, but like possibly at least one ramification on a roster where when you pay a running back like that, you are going to have to face the music with somebody else. You're in a championship window. You can't keep everyone. That's the reality of sports.
I think it's going to be Ray Davis. I think it's going to be
one of the offensive linemen, one of the interiors. Probably not Torrance, but you're probably easily losing McGovern or Edwards or both.
Mm-hmm. But the also, Bills have what that. The Bills have done the last few years.
The Bills have that in their pocket already.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Anderson is a swing lineman. He can play pretty much anywhere. You have Cedric Van Pran Granger, which, please get healthy, my guy, because I have a feeling that in a couple years you're going to be needed, maybe even next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about these things. They're loading up on offensive linemen later on in drafts just to do it and develop them, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Tylan Grable is a guy that I really like on this roster to be a perfectly capable swing tackle and another one of those valuable pieces that they hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Lunt, a player that they invest in. Do they kick him inside even? Yeah. With a massive frame, though, like, I don't know. That's probably man's got tackle height exclusively.
Well, that was also a big thing with Torrance when he was coming out of Florida. It was like, if he's not fleet of foot, this is going to be a problem.
Right.
And not a good problem.
Yes, and I do think, though, that the Bills are very smartly continuing to do this. They did it, and it still is one of Brandon Bean's, publicly, one of his regrets about the job was Wyatt Teller. But they do this. They draft linemen. They stash them. The one time they don't, they get bit for it.
Yeah.
But lesson learned, they retain those guys. They try to pay them. They try to keep those players around knowing that offensive lineman depth is a valuable thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And they will need to work that because now you've paid a running back a top of the market at the moment value. You're going to need it. Like, yes, the cap goes up. The NFL cap is sometimes not a real construct. But then again, ask the Saints. They're probably feeling it right now.
They're feeling it a little bit.
They're feeling it, but that was also 15 years of gymnastics finally coming back to bite Mickey Loomis, who's still on the job. But the Bills they'll probably have to trim the fat somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, though, there's a couple contracts that they can move on from. Dawson Knox is a player that contract was questionable when it was signed in the first place, made worse by immediately taking Dalton Kincaid in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Epenesa is a cut candidate this year. He's a guy that does not wow you and do anything that really sticks out. He needs to play well this preseason, I think, to even just retain his job on this roster. And that is a contract that you can move on from and help alleviate a little bit of this. Curtis Samuel has come up a couple times now this training camp and preseason. You can't cut Samuel. It's going to be more detrimental to your cap than beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But can you pair him with a pick to do a pick swap? Things that teams do at the end of a preseason, like, hey, San Fran, I noticed you have a bunch of injuries. We've got a guy here. Yeah, he got injured during training camp. Don't talk about that. Don't worry about it. But
I think Vegas, too, could be one of those teams.
You could be a You could be a team that needs depth more than we do. We're happy with what we have on our roster, and we want to keep this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give us a sixth, and we'll pair Samuel with a seventh? Those are deals that get made.
Well, and Bean did mention today too that they're gonna have to perform some gymnastics here on cutdown day to make sure this works.
And those are three players that you'll look at and think, that's how you can do some gymnastics. That's how you can go ahead and start doing some of the flips, Simone Biles style.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to Twitter here as Murphy tweets in on the Cook deal, giving his thoughts on that. Should have been signed months ago. Outside of Benford, he would have been the top guy for me. I'm okay that they waited on it. I didn't like that it got to a hold-in situation. I think Rousseau had to be signed. Benford, Bernard. Bernard, for me especially, at this time last year, there was a real feeling he was going to be an all-pro at middle linebacker. He picks up injuries, and I think he only played 13 games last year, and it was a down year for him. But there was feelings that, like, they got Edmonds plus. They went from a guy where you're like, I feel okay about this. This is fine. To, yeah, that's a stud right there. That's a game changer. And in a Bills defense that really is able to get turnover, I don't even want to say luck anymore, just positive turnovers year after year after
year.
Yeah,
if it's year after year, I don't know if it's luck anymore.
Yeah, no. Bernard fit that perfectly. He was a ball hawk right away. And this is also, you know, in some ways keeping me somewhat sane about the whole Cole Bishop thing. He basically didn't participate in camp and preseason the year he becomes the starter. And then is just like a cannon, you know, pops off immediately. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen with Bishop. I think it is something, though, that the team, whenever he is healthy and out there, is immediately the starting safety, no questions asked. I think that does tell you how the team does feel about him. I didn't love to hear how much McDermott was very stressed about him yesterday, it felt like. But he's pretty important. But, I'm fine they wait on Cook partially because of the position he plays, and I've mentioned it. It's the fact that he doesn't touch the ball. He's not on the field 50% of the time. I don't love that. I don't love giving a running back a second contract. It's why I like this. It's why I'm fine with this.
It's that you're fine with it. You're mm-hmm. accepting it. You're not quite meh, but you're at, like, probably above average on the feel on the contract overall. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm more or less trying to gauge where you're at there. In terms of how you should, like how people should be feeling.
I think out of 10, I'm rating this a 6. It's average.
So you're above average.
Yeah.
Slightly above average.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're not going to use U.S. grading system here. 5 is average, 6 is above average. We're not sickos out here. I hate that with by the way, with like rating movies. If it's not like an 8, it's garbage. What are we doing here? Not everything can be an 8+.
Getting Zach started on something accidentally just by grading how he feels about the James Cook thing and using a 1 to 10 scale.
It's a 6 out of 10. It's above average.
Right. Like, how much does this hurt? It's about a 6. Okay, so we kind of got a problem here. Like,
well, depending on who you ask, they say 6, and they're like, oh my gosh, you barely feel any pain. It's great for – no, it's a little bit above average. It hurts.
All right, let's get back on track here. But when it comes to the Cook contract, I think that that's going to be a lot of the sentiment, is that it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, except for one caller that we had, but it's acceptable. It is not a bargain where everyone's starting to do backflips. But again, you weren't taken for a ride either. You got close to Kyren Williams, who mm-hmm. was your contemporary
yep.
that we've been saying for weeks. You got a little bit more out of it, probably because you can argue he's fresher.
Yeah.
He's more fresh. Fresher. Is that a word? No. Nice job. I need a thesaurus.
No, fresher can work. You're fine.
But he's more fresh. You can utilize the longevity of the contract. That's why he gets 4 and Williams gets 3. There's nuance here. That said, I do think that Cook did get the upper hand on this. And good for him.
The $30 million guaranteed.
The $30 million guaranteed. And I do think also the $12 million per year, honestly. Mm-hmm. I do think that Cook and his agent did eventually get the upper hand that they wanted. Because when you say 15, you know that number is going to come down. Getting to 12 is a pretty good win.
Yeah. Scott tweets in, I think Bean folded sooner than I would have liked. I thought this would have gone through the year, and you can tell they felt they really needed him out there. I think that is that last part is absolutely true.
They wanted him out there, and I think that mm-hmm. is something that Bean, McDermott, we've gotten it for the past several days. the agitation from the coach on Saturday after the game was very clear. And then he comes back yesterday saying he's going to be practicing. We have it in a certain way that it's been explained to us. He's going to be on the field. He's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And the first connection immediately is, oh, are we getting a contract imminent? There was doubt around that, mostly because the saga had been a surprise throughout the entire offseason. But lo and behold, that is why. They managed to get it to a good faith thing of the coaching staff is probably going to move on from game plan from you.
Like, we need you on the field, man.
We need you on the field now. We're starting to get serious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if you do it, we can get this thing hammered out.
Yeah.
And it actually lends back to the Russini report, where they weren't mm-hmm. far off.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right.
You don't get this thing hammered out in 7 days.
If you weren't somewhat close.
If you were in the Terry McLaurin realm of, like, you're $8 million off.
Mm-hmm.
So they were close. And all it took was, hey, we're going to start having to move on here. You get back on the field, we'll get back to the table, and let's get this thing done. Tactics all used by team, player, agent, to a point where I was starting to wonder what the agent's doing. And lo and behold, did his job.
803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on James Cook signing a 4-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of Cook, coming up after the break, we'll see if we can play his spot with the media live after practice today. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, you know, we had an understanding that we need to practice if we're going to be able to get back to the table. And so I think there was good faith on both parts, you know, from him and his agent to our side. And once we got him back on the practice field, we really worked hard yesterday. Kevin Megank and, you know, on our side, and Zach Hiller, James's agent, on his side. And I think it was roughly 11 o'clock or so last night where we were able to say both sides are good with this and we'll get it signed in the morning.
That is Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who spoke with the media early this morning as the reports of that James Cook deal came out about 7:30 this morning. That's effectively what I woke up to today, Derek. Mm-hmm. I got up at 7, did a few things in the morning, taking the shower, getting ready, and I got the notification on my phone. I was like, oh, well, I guess I know today's going. Fantastic. That's great. So they got the deal done,
yeah,
4 years, $48 million. Yeah, pretty easy. We do have some notes from practice today. This is coming from Sal. Deion Dawkins, not present during today's practice. Didn't see him at all. He left yesterday's session early with athletic trainers. Good news, though, Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp returned to full team defensive work. Also, Sal said he did not see Cam Lewis.
Never mind. Everything's terrible again.
I will say on this, going back to Elena Getzenberg of ESPN's report yesterday, and I think she said she was with Matt Bove as well, so I do want to mention him as well. They talked with Deion. They asked if he was okay. He smirked and danced away. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get stressed about that. It also could be Deion being Deion, which I enjoy, but it's the idea of him dancing away. Then I'm like, he's fine. They're being overly cautious. They'll give him a day. He'll be back tomorrow. Or, well, no, not even tomorrow. He'll be back Friday for the joint practice because tomorrow's travel day, I believe.
Right.
He'll be back by Friday.
Okay, I believe you.
I'm not even nervous. Not even worried.
I'm a little worried.
Not even worried. He smirked and danced away.
I say this in the most loving way possible. Deion's also kind of weird.
I was going to say, that's very court jester of him, isn't it? Yeah. It's very
Deion
court
Dawkins
jester.
Deion Dawkins is also kind of weird.
I just, in my head, it's like he might have like a
in the best ways possible.
And he danced away. Like, yeah. What are you doing? It's the coaches are like, dude.
In the best ways possible. Deion Dawkins is a little weird.
No, I think he's fine. I'm not really worried. I think they're being
get him back on
cautious.
The practice field, and my little bit of concern goes away. I'm a little worried.
No, not even worried at all. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Dylan is with us next. Dylan, how are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I think it's a fair contract. I think I would have liked to see it more in the 10.5, 11 range. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fair. I think it's going to keep him motivated. I think Nick had an unjustified crash out there.
A little bit. It's okay.
I think we have good receivers, good running backs. The team knows what they want to do, and they're doing it. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Dylan, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Dylan.
I do wonder how high this receiver room could go, though. I mean, I brought it up a lot today. If Coleman hits that, we brought this up a few weeks ago. Air Raid tweeted out, mashing together Mac Collins and Keon Coleman stats from last year. You get right. This. It's like 60 catches, 950 yards, and like 9 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, whatever it was. If you get that.
You smack the table and say yes.
You're feeling pretty comfortable with it, especially if Shakir continues to have the year he did last year. If Palmer is as good of a hit as the team really believes he is, and I don't want to forget Palmer really ever in these discussions, because the team, and mainly Brandon Bean especially, have really banged the drum for Palmer when they signed him to a 3-year deal. They really, really have. And then if Kincaid takes another step, really takes the step that he should have from his rookie year to second year. Mm-hmm. I know Sal brings this up a lot. While the bar was low, Kincaid in his rookie year broke most Bills rookie tight end records.
And that has more to say about the Bills' history of tight ends organizationally than anything else.
But if it weren't for, and I do mean this too, as someone that has bashed Kincaid a lot over the last few months, if it weren't for Sam Laporta, we'd probably actually feel a lot better about that rookie year. Laporta just got a lot of touchdowns.
And then Brock Bowers happened, though.
And then Brock Bowers the next year happens. But a lot of these guys were also, Bowers especially, was considered like maybe the best college tight end ever.
Yeah.
And then who did the Raiders really have to throw to? I mean, they get rid of Devontae Adams. So it really became, Bowers, you need to play well. We were still kind of having that conversation about the Raiders. It's him, Ashton Jeanty, and Geno Smith. Doesn't really give you a lot of hope. I mean, Jack Bash, we'll see if that is a thing. But I haven't seen any reports from him in camp in terms of he's popping off. But, that is something I'm very excited about. The defensive line, I will tell you, I'm genuinely nervous. I'm excited, but it's a much more nervous excitement, because very early it could be, oh man, we're in the same spot. We could still win a Super Bowl, but they're making it hard for themselves if it doesn't hit. The wide receivers, I am excited for. But let's go to post-Bills practice as James Cook speaks with the media.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Good, actually. Good to be back out there to play with my team and, just get another opportunity to do what I love to do.
How difficult was this process for you, or was it not at all?
And I wouldn't say difficult. I handled it the right way, I felt like. And we got stuff done.
What gave you confidence that, sitting out practice and not playing the game would help get this over the finish line?
Not more so it would help. Just trying to protect myself, just trying to stay healthy and just get everything done before I can go out there and play with a clear mindset and just be locked in.
What excites you most about being in this city and this organization?
Like I've been saying, this is the place that drafted me. The fans good, the community good, and just the team we got, man. We play as one, we brothers, and we bond like that.
As you were going through this process, what did it mean to you to have so many of your teammates have the support of you?
It just shows how much they got my back, and how willing to go with me in depth, holding out.
From your perspective, why did you decide to start holding in when you did?
Like I said, to protect myself and, just get things done so I won't have just to be thinking about this and thinking about that and just play with a clear mind.
How much most excited out there for you?
My family. Everybody.
It seems like it. You're a pretty popular guy today.
Yeah. Been over the last couple months, you know. But, yeah.
James, when you're talking about protecting yourself, is there something that had happened maybe in the previous practice? Was there something down to the knees or something that led you to take that? That's this type of break
stuff. No. I mean, I just was, it felt like I was going a little hard, though, but I was just kind of calming it down and, you know, like I said, protecting myself and just getting things done the right way and you know, talking over things and getting my mind clear.
Back at minicamp, I asked you about the competitive side of things, the contract standpoint, the natural competitiveness you have, and why you're willing to compete off the field for what you think you're owed. How do you think the competition ship itself out of here?
Yeah, we paid now, so let's go play football.
Did you win?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was a win and lose situation. I mean, it's just, like I said, business, and it happened. So, yeah, you would too.
You were on the field for the first 8 practices. Why was it important for you to be on the field? And was it a statement to the team that you were engaged? Why'd you start on the field and then decide when to hit pause?
Just to show my loyalty to my team and my teammates, you know, I know they always got my back, so I got their back too. So just showing them that I'm willing to not be a problem and a distraction, just go out there, just practice and, you know, and play and see what happens. That was my mindset.
What were, when you went back to practice yesterday, like, did you know things were close? Like, what was your mindset when you practiced yesterday?
I kind of knew, yeah.
What's the next level for James Cook? Obviously, last year you had a ton of rushing touchdowns. The stats were very impressive. What do you feel like you can continue to do?
I mean, just continue to keep doing me, you know, being me. And yeah, like hopefully bring a Super Bowl here. That's what I'm trying to do and just keep elevating my game.
How much does it mean to you to be a part of this kind of prime core that they've locked up this year and over the last couple of years?
I mean, especially, you know, the guys that came in with me, we all got rewarded. And, I mean, now it's time for us to go play football and show them why we belong here.
James, did you ever feel misunderstood throughout this process?
No, because y'all don't know what I'm going through and y'all opinion don't matter. So it just me being myself and just staying true to myself and just believing in myself.
James, it's as old as contracts in sports. How's it going? Well, is it?
Just by never settling, you know, never get complacent, always keep working, keep pushing yourself to the hardest and you know, keep going. I was really chilling. I wasn't really thinking about it. Like, I was just calm and just being me.
Did it ever get to a point where it bothered you?
No.
How long were you willing to go?
However long it took. But we got it done, so we don't need to be discussing that. And let's play football.
That was Buffalo Bills running back James Cook meeting with the media, a man of many words. I do, though, enjoy when he speaks to the media. He says exactly what I want a player to say to some media members across the board. Just when you want the long soliloquy, he's like, no, absolutely not. It's entertaining for me. It's not.
It's entertaining, but it's also, you know, like.
It's different. It is different from a lot of players. A lot of players will give you the coach speak or the player speak, what have you. Cook is, no.
He's just like, I'm not a talkative guy, and you're going to get the same person. I'm genuine.
Yep.
I guess that's part of it that is nice, that he's just still like the same guy when he's talking with reporters or he's not, is he's just hanging out.
He is who he is.
He's hanging out.
Did you ever feel like you were misrepresented or misunderstood during this? Nope.
I was praying that was going to be the only part to that line of questioning.
So good. 803-0550, the number two call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We do have some injury news from Bills practice. We already have mentioned Deion Dawkins not out there, but there were plenty of other names. Yeah, Derek, the list is still long.
The list is still long, and it reads as such. Elijah Moore, Tyrell Shavers, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Deion Dawkins, again, please just get back on the field, Cedric Van Prangranger, who has yet to participate in any practice this year, Tylan Grable, Justin Hollins, Shaq Thompson, Cam Lewis, and Tyler Bass is still not actively kicking.
And then backup center Kendrick Green was injured during 11-on-11 today. Appeared to be trainers looking at his right arm and that he was in a lot of pain. This coming from Matt Perino. So, yeah, that injury list is still really long. Again, I mentioned it. I'm not really that worried about the Dawkins stuff. Again, he was jovial, it sounds like, yesterday when talking with media very quickly.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about that. The receiver room being wounded like that is not ideal. You already knew about Shakir. You're probably not going to see him until week one. Samuel has been so up and down all year or all camp with the injuries. Shavers and Moore, you want to see out there. Moore, though, has been somebody it feels like has been bouncing in and out of actually practicing or not. It seems like whatever has been bothering him, it's day-to-day.
It's still bothering him is kind of the thing there. And honestly, it's a little disappointing considering the hype that was especially brought in with him signing.
Yep.
But you just want to make sure that everyone's getting back to the field. And the laundry list staying relatively lengthy here, not great.
It is not ideal. And then for some big news around the rest of the AFC East, Dolphins camp, they are having a joint practice, I believe, with the Lions.
Yes.
And Chop Robinson, their second-year pass rusher, who really started to come on strong towards the end of the year, had to be carted off. Don't know if this was he was on the field and he couldn't get up and they had to cart him off, or it's kind of the new cart season. He's off to the sidelines working with trainers, and they go, we're just going to get you into the room, get on the cart, and we're going to go from there. Don't know up to that point what this is, but that would be a massive loss for the Lions, a defense that very much is trying to find an identity. They're trying to be tougher. I think that's just flat out what they're trying to be. Robinson is one of those players that kind of came in ready-made. I've mentioned this with the Dolphins in an entity that they needed to start going for more of like the Big Ten guys on defense. Robinson fit that. He was at Penn
Robinson
State.
Robinson fit that.
And he looked very, very good, especially towards the end of last year. This would be a huge loss for them. Again, don't know exactly what the actual carting off was. It is, again, cart season. They will do it for a lot of these guys as a precaution. And I haven't seen any like disastrous, you know, reports from Dolphins reporters of like, yeah, guys, he was down for a couple minutes there, and you know, everyone's on any. I haven't seen anything like that. So I guess that is a good sign for the Dolphins. But last year, for the Dolphins, came on strong, as I mentioned, 6 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 14 QB hits. Again, there's the rookie out of Penn State. Very much is going to be a major factor for them this year. Last thoughts on the Cook contract for today. For me, at least, Derek, I'm good with it. I mentioned I'm a 6 out of 10 with it. That is not below average. That is above average for me. It's not going to be a contract that ever blows me away. I'm never going to be really thrilled that a running back gets a second contract, especially one like Cook, who does play 50% or less than 50% of the snaps. But in terms of the offense this year and what they did need to get done, I'm okay with it.
I don't know. I might call you on the board later and be overly angry about it.
There we go. It's all right. It's all right. I might answer the phone. In all seriousness, though, I'm happy for him. $30 million
ecstatic
guaranteed.
Ecstatic for him.
$12 million. We've mentioned it, too. By this time next year, there could be a lot more deals coming in, namely Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, that could even push Cook to top 10 running back money, but way more towards the back end at $12 million per year. But they needed to get this done, especially because he was holding in. I don't think he was ever going to miss any games.
It's not a need. It's clear they wanted to get this done.
They wanted to get this done.
That's the important part to me, where I can acknowledge that I'm happy also for the team, because they wanted to get this done all along, and we had no idea. That's the beauty of it all. Nobody thought that the Bills were going to be able to afford it, or that they wanted to, for example. Mm-hmm. Instead, here we are. the extension done, and now you got 5 more years, including this season, with James Cook as a Buffalo Bill as of right now.
That'll do it for us today. Coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. Also, stay tuned for later on this afternoon. Bills head coach Sean McDermott will join Chopin the Bulldog at 4 p.m. This is WGR.